Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News.
Good morning. Good everything, everybody.
Good everything. And then also Dr. Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries, your website, and what they might be able to find there if they want to take a look-see.
Well, just come on over and check us out at keepbelieving.com, online biblical repository of sermons and Bible studies. And right now I'm going through the book of Ruth and putting up Bible studies and messages related to the book of Ruth, which I've never studied before. I'm about halfway through it, and I'm sorry I waited so long in my life to study this little book. And that's really what we do. We take books of the Bible. We take the stories of the Bible. We take stories like Ruth or Elijah or Moses or a story of Paul or Peter, and to show what they mean, what the Bible says, and how it can apply to your life today. So if you're looking for a place on the internet for reliable Bible study resources, well, one place you can find it is right here at keepbelieving.com.
The book of Ruth, the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention God.
Well, Esther doesn't either, does
it? Maybe I'm thinking of Esther.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're thinking of Esther.
I'm thinking of Esther. Sorry.
Ray,
but those two books do go together, right?
They
Ruth
do.
And Esther. We think of them that way.
I got to say, Ray, I think you just like using the word online repository. you say every time I ask you, it's an online repository.
Nobody really knows. That's not a word we normally use. I have no idea what that means.
My refrigerator is a food repository.
Makes it sound official.
So.
That's right.
But believe me, folks, lots of good stuff at Dr. Ray Pritchard's ministry website, keepbelieving.com. You will not regret going to that online repository of Christian content. So, all right, Steve Jordahl.
Yeah, baby. We're going to start. We got a lot to talk about. My goodness. So I know you guys went heavy into the debate last night, and
we could stand to talk about it some
more.
Well,
I wanted to kind of branch off of it. One of the debaters was Pete Buttigieg, and we have heard over the last few weeks several times where he has mentioned his Christian faith.
Right.
And we've wondered out loud on this program how someone who's very pro-abortion, openly homosexual, married to another man, could...
Using air quotes on marriage.
Could call themselves in good conscience a Christian. Well, it turns out that he's not the only Christian or believer, person that claims Christ in the Buttigieg household. His brother-in-law, now I don't know, I don't think it's Chasten's brother. I think it must be a sibling's husband.
Okay.
His brother-in-law is Pastor Ryan Glesman.
Chasten is his quote-unquote husband.
Right.
So
right.
You're saying...
I don't think that Chasten's brother is a pastor.
Okay.
I think this is a brother-in-law from a different sibling that that he has. He was on I think it was Tucker Carlson the other day. They got a hold of him, and I want you to hear what he has to say about Pete Buttigieg's faith. This is cut 9.
In the height of intellectual dishonesty for Pete to make claims that there's no compatibility with being a Christian and voting for Trump, which Pete, in fact, is the one who is pushing agendas and rhetoric that is clearly against Scripture. So it's just very interesting to me that Pete wants to use this type of terminology. I'm just in a state of lament when you hear that we have someone running for commander-in-chief who can't make a moral decision on whether to keep a child after it's already been born or to have it killed. What kind of moral suggestions is he going to be given if he can't come to an understanding of that? It's alarming. It's extreme, and it just concerns me, Tucker. It's unbelievable.
Ray, how would you like to be Thanksgiving at that house next year?
Well, you know, he's right. But if Mayor Pete has any cover, it's that he's only saying what all the other Democrat candidates are saying. I mean, he's just in lockstep with the rest of them. So
right.
I don't know how his brother-in-law, he's going to get along. Not not too well, I don't think.
Well, I'll tell you this, that it's pretty bold of this pastor brother-in-law
right.
to say that. I mean, because, well, he's for one thing, he was already going on Tucker Carlson on Fox. So
right.
this isn't like in a corner somewhere with a little county weekly newspaper.
No.
This is on Fox News, and so he's letting the chips fall where they may. That's what you expect out of a pastor.
You do, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay, so what else you got? I think you hopefully we haven't run out of stories.
That's it. That's all I brought today.
That's it.
Let's sit in silence for 20 minutes.
I know that's not true.
everybody's been talking about lately is the kind of little dust up between President Trump and Attorney General Bill Barr. Attorney General Barr was on ABC doing another nationally televised interview where he said that President Trump's constant tweeting about cases in the Justice Department's purview makes it impossible for him to do his job. And everybody, you know, to the, what's going to happen now? The president was fairly gracious about it. He has since said, yes, I'm sure that it does make it difficult for him to do his job, but I have the right to do this.
Right.
I want you to hear a little bit about President Trump. This is yesterday from the tarmac. He was on his way out west to Phoenix to do that, to do a rally. And I want you to hear, he's praising William Barr, and he's praising somebody else here, too. Cut 10.
I have total confidence in my attorney general.
Do you agree with his statement that you should stop tweeting about Justice Department issues?
Well, people like that, but, you know, everybody has the right to speak their mind. And I use social media. I guess I use it well because here I am. I'm here. And I probably wouldn't have gotten here without social media because I certainly don't get fair press. So I wouldn't have gotten here without social media. And perhaps with all of the hoaxes, you had the impeachment hoax, you had the Mueller hoax, you had the Russia nonsense, all the scams. And if I didn't have social media, I probably wouldn't be here. So I'm very happy with social media, but I think he's doing an excellent job. He's a strong guy.
Yeah, so I'm really good at social media.
Well, Ray, I've got to hand it to the president. I think he's right. Now, listen, on social media, I personally think he should dial it back some and maybe not be, you know, so abrasive. But he makes a really good point in terms of the fact that he doesn't get fair treatment from the media. They're going to push what they want to push. People are telling them to stop, but they're going to continue to do it. And really, if he had not been using social media, he probably wouldn't be in the White House.
Look, I agree with you, Ed. If you and I were talking to him, we would say, Mr. President, dial it back a little bit. And he would ignore us, as he should, because you're right. Ask yourself a question. If we go back to 2015, when he first, you know, came down the big escalator and all that, and on that day, his election seemed impossible.
Right.
Is it not true? Well, let me say it to you. Let me ask a question this way. Is there a way he could get elected without Twitter? Twitter gave him a door, an avenue to speak to millions of people and say unfiltered whatever he wanted. I think he's got a great point. It's what put him in the White House.
Yeah. Well, and I'll add to that as well, Ray. I think that's exactly right. Very insightful point. Here's the thing. His abrasiveness in his tweets is what kept the media broadcasting his tweets.
Right.
They would continually cover what he said because they were aghast at what this candidate and then this president was saying. You know, how could he? How dare he? They would continue to cover what he was saying, therefore multiplying the impact of his tweets tens of thousands fold. I'm just throwing out a number.
But it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
People keep track of a figure called Earned Media, a candidate who is talked about in the news can claim that as campaign contribution type stuff, Earned Media. He's getting a ton of Earned Media. There's a song going through my head right now.
Well, I guess if you're going to sing it, it's going to go through our head, too.
It yes,
better be a
it
good
will.
One.
How do you solve a problem like Trump tweeting?
Oh, man. That is not a good song. Why don't you just pick something from Mary Poppins or something stick in my head.
You got something wrong with the Sound of Music?
Okay.
All right. Is that Sound of Music?
Yes.
Yes, okay. It was.
All so, right. So
I don't watch musicals. If there's nothing blowing up, there's no aliens.
It had Nazis in it. It had Nazis.
Yeah, it did. It had Nazis.
If Captain America's not in it, I don't want to watch it. It did have Nazis.
Yes.
Too. All right. I think the president, like Ray said, we would tell the president maybe dial it back, and he would ignore us. And you know what? He's in the White House, not us.
Right. That's right. Right. He's continuing to troll the media, though. Just today.
He's a genius.
Just today, President Trump tweeted out, he retweeted a portion of the Tucker Carlson program from last night where Tucker mused that a pardon might be coming for Roger Stone. The president didn't say anything about a pardon for Stone. He's been asked. He hasn't said anything. But now he's tweeting out this little video segment that says Roger Stone could be pardoned.
That's precisely the point we're making here. He retweets this. The media goes crazy and covers it.
Right.
And guess what? Donald Trump is back in the news.
I know.
He's really the president, so he's always
in the news anyway. But
I will say this. One of the things that people use to mock him in terms of his The Apprentice program and, you know, this guy is just a genius of using media and entertainment. He really is a genius at trolling the media and the Democrats, which is why he goes. He's not in Nevada, of course, but he's in Phoenix.
Yeah,
and when there's the caucuses in Iowa, or there's the New Hampshire primaries, the president is hovering nearby.
He's right there,
and he's doing his thing. And the media can't help themselves; they're going to cover Donald Trump. And he drains away all the media attention from the Democrats. He's got extraordinary instincts.
He's got an extraordinary following, too. I watched the Twitter feed from my old old Colorado Springs newspaper, the Gazette. The president is headed to Colorado Springs, I think maybe tonight. They started lining up, as they will, last night for tonight's event. It was, right now, it would be 10:17 in Colorado, it's 19 degrees.
These people are lining up outside?
They're camping out outside in 19-degree weather, and last night it was in single digits when they were out there.
Well, if anybody's going to know how to camp out in single digits, it's going to be people in Colorado.
Well, they do have the right clothes for it, but
that's extraordinary. I wonder how many people are actually out there already.
Well, I don't know if I could find it. I'm going to do this for everybody listening. I'm going to try to find the post with the picture that was on it from last night. I'll give it to Brent, and he can maybe upload that to our Facebook page in a bit.
Okay. All right.
I want the Democrats talking about trolling. This stuff drives them batty. It drives them up a wall. I want you to listen to Congressman David Cicilline from Rhode Island. So the furor was over all the pardons that President Trump put out.
Right.
You know, we're talking about maybe pardoning Roger Stone. He did pardon several people yesterday, including Rod Blagojevich.
Right.
Former governor. And it's driving you can't have a president exercising his duly appointed powers, can we? Listen to what David Cicilline says, what we might be in for the next couple of years. Cut 12.
The president does not have the right to meddle in the individual cases in the Justice Department. Our whole system is premised on the notion of blind justice. We will, of course, I expect, have hearings on this. There's a process that the president is expected to follow in granting pardons or granting clemency. We'll try to bring attention to this issue on behalf of the American people. We'll continue to do oversight.
Yeah, more hearings. If you never saw that coming.
Listen, I got to say, Ray, the Democrats are like I was as a teenager.
Yes.
When I didn't want to do my homework, I would find all kinds of things to do. I got to do this. Ma, I got to do that. Dad, I can't. I got to do this. I didn't want to do my homework. And this is what it seems like the Democrats, they don't want to do their jobs, which is to pass legislation and actually do things. they want to spend all their time getting rid of the president. It beats all I've ever seen.
He not only sets the agenda for his friends, he sets the agenda for his enemies. Right. He controls the agenda on both sides of the aisle. It takes a brilliant person to pull that off. And
some would say a stable genius.
Yes. Thank you. A very stable genius to do that. It's brilliant to put up that little clip of about Roger Stone and possibly putting it up with no comment whatsoever. Yes.
Right.
He's got us talking about it. It worked.
It did.
Listen, I saw one over the weekend. Did you guys see this with looked like a yearbook? Was that President Trump's tweet? And then they had Michael Bloomberg's picture with him just half his face because he was too short. And he just – wasn't that Trump's tweet?
I don't know if that
was – Yeah, I think that was President Trump's tweet.
Brilliant.
So now let's just get back to – and this, again, a little bit unfair because I'm just throwing this out. But every president has done hundreds and hundreds of pardons commutations of sentences. I mean,
I don't know if everyone's done hundreds, but they do them. They normally do them as they're leaving office or on an occasion of something. So this one was a little unusual in that it was kind of for no reason other than the people wanted, he wanted to do this thing. Some people say he's getting ready for something when the, what he's doing is he's laying the groundwork to pardon people like Roger Stone and other people that went down in the Russia hoax investigation. So some pardons there are coming, and that he is going to he's setting the table for that. That's what they say.
Well, here's kind of what I'm referring to. President Obama, just 3 days before the end of his presidency, commuted an additional 209 sentences with more expected. I'm reading from an older story. Doing so brought his total commutations to 1,385, the most of any president in history.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is what President Trump is doing is not unusual for presidents. So you have this Rhode Island congressman talking about this as if the president is meddling when every president does this sort of thing.
Yep.
So, anyway.
And the president's power is basically unlimited, right? I mean, the Constitution gives him the right to pardon and or commute a sentence with or without, for whatever reason he deems proper.
Yeah, it's unlimited when it comes to pardons. It's not unlimited in general, but yes.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're right. All right. I want to talk about something that's going on in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
It's cold.
Right.
Cold day up in Wisconsin. And we've got some parents who are a little bit upset. They're suing the Madison, Wisconsin School District, claiming that the school district is violating their due process rights by sidestepping them in parenting their kids. There's a new policy at the school, at the district in Madison, that allows school employees to use alternative names and pronouns for kids without parental notice or consent. So the district says it is committed to affirming each student's self-designated gender identity and that the district will strive to, quote, disrupt the gender binary with books and lessons and lesson plans stating that everyone has a right to choose their gender.
All right. Now,
wow.
Wisconsin, this is an outrageous story, by the way. This is an outrage what's happening in Madison, Wisconsin. But Madison is the capital of a state that's bluish.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. But that is also a college town. That's the University of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
University of Wisconsin?
I believe it is. Right. I believe it is. Madison.
And so this is a very, very liberal city. And so I'm not surprised. But I want to forewarn our listeners that wherever you are, this is where secular progressives want to go, and they absolutely discount. Ray, I'll let you join in here. Give us your feelings on this. They absolutely want to discount the authority of parents and the rights of parents to direct the upbringing of their children whenever it comes to these sexual matters, marriage matters, gender matters. They don't want parents having a say. And for the city to say, we're going to tell your kids, I think they'll encourage them to identify as something other than the binary option, male or female. And then they're going to teach them and call them by their chosen pronouns without any consideration of what the parents want.
That's right.
Ray, in my opinion, that's where they want to take the rest of the country.
Well, it's a totalitarian attack on what Christians and people of conservative faith generally have believed for thousands of years, that there are men and there are women. That's the, quote, gender binary. And, Steve, if I heard what you said correctly, they intend up there to put out books and articles and stuff that directly attack, quote, the gender binary, which sets the school system up as a god over what the parents are teaching at home. This is an extremely dangerous situation.
They're using lesson plans. In other words, I've been reading, I don't know how they do this, but they even introduce these concepts in math class. You get a word problem where...
That's where they do
probably,
it.
Probably. You know, Sally has two moms, and one of them brought home 10 oranges.
Yes, that's what they do.
But in every single situation, they're just bringing this indoctrination in. And I got to tell you, I'm thankful that my kids are grown and gone. I don't have to...
Yeah, I know, but I understand what you're saying. Mine are grown, but I got grandkids now. You never stop worrying about your kids and now your grandkids. And Ray, I got to say this, Madison, Wisconsin, places like that,
right,
the first thing they do is they go to war against the church.
Right.
And if you don't take a stand against this creeping secularism, then before you know it, they're telling the parents,
we don't
have to listen to you either. We don't have to listen to God. We can disregard his laws, and then we can disregard you.
And don't say, well, that's Madison, it's left-wing liberal. Coming soon to a town, city, village near you.
Yep.
This is going to happen all over America.
And I'll tell you something else, something that a lot of our listeners may not know, some of them do know this, is that textbooks are usually national, okay? So you have, it used to be Texas, used to be a real counterweight to California.
Right.
But even Texas, I think, has slipped on some of this. The couple that used to review textbooks in Texas, I think, has passed away. I forget their names. But in California, for example, the textbook companies, they don't want to make a textbook for every state.
No, they can't.
So they say, what do you want, California? And that's what the textbook's going to be. So even in Mississippi and Georgia and Tennessee and other places that might be far more conservative than a place like Madison, Wisconsin, which is the Berkeley of the Midwest— you're going to get textbooks in your school that will oftentimes reflect these whacked-out theories. And so you got to pay attention to what's being taught at your school as well. You got anything worth 30 seconds?
I do. I want you to listen to this. This is somebody that went up and asked Mayor Bloomberg for a selfie. Listen to this, cut 13.
Hey, Mike, say stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk.
Oh, man.
Okay, that was good.
Listen, if you're going to be president of the United States, you're going to have to take some of that.
That's right.
And that was pretty clever.
Say stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk. All right. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to this entire program, you got your money's worth.
We had a half an hour
of Dr. Robert Jeffress. We had great stories on either side of that. Steve Jordahl, thank you for being on with us.
My pleasure.
Ray Pritchard, poster boy for rugged individualism. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ed.
All right, folks, more great programming is directly ahead on the American Family Radio Network. That is day 4 of Serious Issues for today's issues. Tomorrow, guess what it is? It's Learn the University and Trivia Friday. We'll see you then.